We'll have no other king but King Jesus. This is the Patriot pastor, Garrett Lear. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We talk about liberty and justice. There will be no liberty and justice without Christ. I've got a lot of exciting news for you. I am broadcasting today from a rehabilitation center in Dover, New Hampshire. It seems that it's been dedicated to fixing all the broken parts of Garrett Lear's body, and we're fast at that, not quite finished yet. Thank the Lord for your prayers. I want to particularly thank my angel of a wife, Kathy. Continue to pray for her. She has been absolutely diligent following up on everything. I don't know how I would have done this without the grace of God and her. I have been actually, and there's a difference between illegal aliens and like the song of Neil Diamond, which is so appropriate, they're coming to America. Folks, they're already here. I've had a couple of dozen of the people who are nurses and doctors who treated me, who've come from many countries of the world, and they became American citizens, and they speak our language. There's a great difference. One of the most exciting portions is, you know, the largest Muslim country in the world is Indonesia. While many Christians in Indonesia have been persecuted by the Muslims, and they've left, there's actually a church here in Somersworth, New Hampshire, with Indonesians, great people, and they have shared with me what's going on in the island of Borneo. In subsequent broadcasts, we'll talk about that. It's so exciting. I felt like I was going to jump out of my bed, that they have brought in help from all over the world where the cross of Jesus is defeating the sword of Islam. That's right, the cross of Jesus defeating the sword of Islam. Stuff you don't hear on the evening news. Well, today being 4th of July, 2017, you know I always tell people before any hamburgers, before any hot dogs, before you pull the tab on your favorite beverage, read the Declaration of Independence. About 1,378 words, depending how fast you talk and read. Only take about 15 minutes. That's what it's all about, and people need to know. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the form to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same, are accustomed, object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And so suspended, he is utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of land. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He's affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefit of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried by for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its borders so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for intrusing and introducing the same absolute rule in these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He's abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He's plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens to take captives on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He's excited domestic insurrections among us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince, whose character thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow their usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are, and of our right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may have a right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. You see, folks, doesn't take very long to read it. It is one of the most important documents ever written in the history of the world. And so if you're concerned with liberty and justice today, which you ought to be, and thinking of the many signers, who they didn't sign this because it was going to make them historically correct, politically correct, or for that matter end up in the Smithsonian Institute. When they signed it, they signed their own death warrant. They were considered to be traitors to the British Crown, and many of them died. Many of them were wealthy and lost their fortunes. Many of them lost their homes, all kind of things. You think about that today. And without Christ, there is no liberty and there is no justice, like we say in the Pledge of Allegiance. So stay tuned for future broadcasts, and I'm going to share some things with you, which I will ask you to direct any of your friends, Christian friends in particular, to go to patriotpastor.org, to our YouTube channel, and we will be bringing you more exciting news of these many people that have come to America because they want to become Americans. America has been blessed. Let's not waste the blessing that America has had. Amen.